Shubhad Paramahams Parivrajaka Acharya Stotras of the Sri Srimad Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Hare Krishna Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gorvani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakta Devishachari Srimad Bhagavatam, translation. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. Purport. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him that when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. The directions were to come from within, and there was no necessity for anxiety in that task. Such instructions of Buddhi Yoga are directly imparted by the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Agyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shingarabhi Namah Ande Guru Nisha Bhaktam Sisha Misha Vatarakam Tat Pakasham Sachar Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangita Tattvātmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Surupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Avataram Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vandeshi Krishna Chaitanya Nityanam Dasahodito Gaudo Diye Pushpavanto Chitro Shandhito Nido Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Mandam Tergati Matsarva Svapadam Bhojo Radha Madan Mohano Divyad Vindaran Kaupadromata Sri Madhatmada Sinhasana Stavnana Shri Madhra Adha Shri Govinda Deva Prashtani Sevi Manu Swaran Shri Madhra Sarasaram Bhivam Shri Vatata Tastitaha Kashan Vena Vasuna Gopiya Gopina Vasuna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In this purport, Srila Prabhupada comments about the mercy that the Lord gives to his devotees. In the interaction between the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all other living beings, there is nothing but Krishna's mercy. Even for the materialist, they are receiving Krishna's mercy. The difference between a materialist and a devotee is that the materialistic person doesn't recognize Krishna's mercy and the devotee does. The devotee knows what is the nature of Krishna's mercy, but the materialist doesn't. Even if the materialist is a religious person who believes in God, he'll be called a Prakrita Bhakta, or whose apparent devotion is on the material platform because he wants something from Krishna. He wants something material for his own sense gratification. Therefore, he sees the Lord's mercy in terms of the facilities he receives for sense gratification. This is, in the Western world, the Protestant ethic, in America especially, is that one should work hard and believe in God, and God will bless you and you'll get lots of money. That is supposed to be the sign of God's mercy on you. Or sometimes if we meet a pious, well-to-do person, or he will say, or We made a pious prayer and say, yes, God has been very merciful to me. I have nice house, nice job, nice car. My family is peaceful. God is very merciful to me. But a devotee, he is able to say, if he's in that situation, that I have no good income, my family life is a mess, my body is racked with diseases, Krishna is very merciful to me. He sees everything as Krishna's mercy. Marobi rakobi, jo iccha toha, nitta dasa prati tua adhika. Who can say this? Who can speak like this? That you kill me, or you protect me, whatever you like, I'm simply your sold out servant. We can sing the song, it's easy to sing, but who can actually feel that? Who can actually experience or fully accept this? That whatever happens, it's all Krishna's mercy. Krishna has whatever difficult situation, that's Krishna's mercy on me to purify me. A devotee thinks like that, if we're actually devotees. Whereas the materialistic person, he gets Krishna's mercy in the form of Maya. Maya also means mercy. So he suffers, and a materialistic person in such a situation, that verse is there in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada gives an extensive commentary. Vita raga baya krodha manmaya mamupashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they came to me. So anger, often people, they're angry at God. They say that, well, I have so much pain in my body and so much tension at work and so many difficulties, and how can I believe in God? Or this, recently it came in this magazine, The Week magazine, the question of, does God exist or not? As if they're qualified to comment on it at all. They presume themselves. So they quoted, what's his name, that lawyer who stood against Atal Bihari Vajpayee and Lagna? Ram Jethmalani. Yeah, Ram Jethmalani. They quoted him and he said that, well, I used to believe in God, but then when I went to Gujarat and during the recent earthquake and I saw the children, they were just in their school being good children, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake and they were buried under the rubble, and they slowly died over several days, and then my belief in God changed. Also the founder of the so-called Arya Samaj, this Dayanand Saraswati, he's given himself the name, I don't know who gave him, no, his guru gave him Saraswati, but he's not. Saraswati means he should have proper knowledge, but he doesn't. So it's an inappropriate name for him. Anyway, in his childhood he had a realization that when he in a Rajasthani village, they were doing Jagaran with his father and uncles and friends, and then they all fell asleep and he stayed awake, and he saw that the offerings which were made to the deity were being eaten by mice. And he thought, well, what kind of a deity is this? He can't even eat the food and the mice are eating. So then he came to the profound realization that deity worship is bogus. Of course, he's bogus. But this, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call, the empiric method of attempting to understand God, by its very nature, must be unsuccessful. Or the empiric method to understand reality must be unsuccessful, because reality is unlimited. We are limited. The very attempt. There's also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call the tendency to try to measure. He defined Maya in an unusual way, or an unusual, yeah, it's unusual. Mepenawa, to attempt to measure, this is Maya. It's extremely arrogant to think that we shall measure, we shall understand God by our own measurement. That if I see suffering in the world, God should be good, means He should provide us with sense gratification. And if He doesn't, then we don't believe in Him. We don't accept that He exists. This is both arrogant and foolish, which are the prominent symptoms of non-devotees. Arrogance and foolishness. Dambho, darpo, vimanascha, krodha, parishyameva cha, agyana cha bhijatasya, partha, sampadam, asuri. So, agyana, foolishness, and then dambha, darpa, abhiman. These are all symptoms of arrogance and krodha, parisham, anger and unnecessary anger and harsh speech. These are all further symptoms of arrogance. So the arrogance and foolishness typify non-devotees. And thus, they do not recognize the mercy of Krishna upon them to curb their arrogance and foolishness. But instead, when there's any untoward happening, they increase their arrogance and foolishness by either blaming it on the gods or rejecting that there can be any god. This atma-centric or egocentric outlook that I am the center of everything, and therefore, if there is any God or higher power, He should provide everything for my sense gratification according to my desire, according to my order, according to what I think should be correct. And if He doesn't, then we don't accept that He exists, or we blame Him. So, such a person is bereft of the mercy to understand Krishna. Cannot understand Krishna. He will reject Krishna. How can there be? I can't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Therefore, there cannot be any such higher being as God. It's extremely foolish, but because I can't understand, therefore it doesn't exist. It's just like if a young child, 5 years old, is, and we attempt to explain the world of quantum physics. Well, I don't understand, therefore it's all meaningless. It's foolish. But the materialist is so foolish that he accepts this is very reasonable. The whole world of atheistic science goes on the proposition that we can't measure, we can't see God, we can't understand God by our scientific method, therefore it doesn't exist. The crass arrogance and foolishness is not apparent to them due to their foolishness. The emperor has no clothes. Famous story from the Western countries, which the present generation doesn't know, but the new generation will, because the new generation in India is brought up entirely on Western literature. So the famous story, the emperor has no clothes. I won't tell the whole story, but anyway, some cheetahs came to the emperor and said that we're giving you some superb clothing, but only intelligent people can see it. And so they dressed him and everything. They took a lot of money from him. There was nothing. There were no clothes, but they didn't. He was thinking that, well, I can't say I can't see the clothes, because then it would be admitting that I'm unintelligent. So then he was parading in the street to show his new clothes, entirely naked. And no one wanted to admit that they couldn't see the clothes, because that would be that they're foolish. That would show that they're foolish. So then a young child said, the emperor has no clothes. A child could point out, but the sophisticated people who wanted to maintain a facade of being very intelligent, they could not understand. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in delineating what is Krishna consciousness, by having Ramananda Rai explain to him, accepted that the beginning of transcendental realization is jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva, to give up the attempt to measure everything by our own yardsticks and become humble and to understand that I don't know everything. I need jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya varjam. Therefore we should hear from tattva-darshi, those who do know what is reality, which specifically means to hear about Krishna. But those who are arrogant and foolish, generally we find that even if their arrogance and foolishness is pointed out to them, they cannot accept it. At least previously in India, there was a culture of shastric discussion. How did the great acharyas, including Shankaracharya, he's also considered an acharya, Mayavadi acharya, he's described as. But in one sense acharya, in as much as he established a vad based on shastra, that it is Mayavad, it's wrong vad, in that sense he's not accepted as acharya. But anyway, he acted as an acharya, and then Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, especially these three are very famous in the history of what, for want of a better term, is called Indian philosophy. So how did these three, and of Vishnu Swami, we don't have so much information about, also Vallabhacharya traveled here and there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were traveling from place to place. How did they establish their teachings? We'll find, of course, the followers of Ramanuja Acharya are very well known in South India, especially in what is now called Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. These were the places where Ramanuja frequented. But we'll find actually all over it. We'll find in Rajasthan, in Bengal, in Nepal, there are so many followers of Ramanuja Acharya. So how did he establish his philosophy? He was walking from place to place, and in every village there were brahmanas, every area there. So he would discuss with them, and he would establish his philosophy. Shankaracharya also, of course Shankaracharya was more selective in who he discussed with. But they established their philosophy because when the others were defeated, they accepted that was the system. If you're defeated in argument, then you should accept that this person has superior knowledge, therefore I should accept his teachings. I should come to a higher level. But nowadays we find that even if people, you can speak with them and cut their philosophy to pieces, or whatever what they consider to be philosophy is. And they'll still go on talking, blah, 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 blah. They can't understand their own foolishness. Yesterday I was speaking with some people who wanted to convince me of the veracity of Brahma Kumari philosophy, whatever their philosophy is. I didn't get as far as hearing what it is, because they talk so much nonsense even before they started to expound it to me. I just pointed out that you're contradicting yourself, you're talking nonsense, and they admitted we're talking nonsense, they admitted we're contradictory. And they say, well, I withdraw that statement. And then you don't know what you're talking about and you want to teach me something. But again and again, they want, you should listen. You should listen to what we have to say. Say, why should I listen? You yourself admitting you're talking nonsense. You yourself admit you don't know. And you should listen to me. Not that I should listen to you. So fanaticism. Religion without philosophy is either sentimentalism or fanaticism. But in the modern age, this actual philosophy, there are no rules for discussion. People, whatever they think is right. I asked them, well, why do you accept this Brahma Kumariism? He said, well, we feel. We feel it's very good. We experience. We become happy when they do this. And I told them that then you're on the same level as the cat and the dog. That's his philosophy. It's completely subjective. Whatever feels whatever feels good, then the dog is feeling there's Mrs. or Miss Dog, unmarried, Miss Dog. So that I think I could enjoy, so I'll feel good. There's a completely subjective, what is, so, and there's no basis. But unfortunately, due to being in cat and dog consciousness, they couldn't understand this, and they thought that they should speak their so-called philosophy, which they're ready to change at every second. So it's a very difficult age. We're distributing these books. Actually, in the previous verse, Lord Krishna speaks about the depth of Vedic wisdom. But actually, this philosophy is so high, so far above the average person. Previously in India, this was the culture, that people would listen to Bhagavat. They would hear Ramayana, at least Mahabharata, Ramayana. They had some background to hear this, but nowadays it's... I was on the plane yesterday, coming back from Dubai. Sitting next to me was a disc jockey who had gone to Dubai for one day to be a disc jockey and came back. So this is the modern culture. That, where is the philosophy? Where is the background of that? All he knew about Krishna was that boy George. That was his experience of, that was his knowledge of Krishna consciousness, that boy George, who I only heard about him because he sung something about Krishna once. But people, they think, oh, this is a great person, Mahatma. And because he has some contact with Krishna, they think, oh, Krishna, oh yes, very good. We also say, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. So, these are the modern Mahajanas. But actually this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is so high and the principles are so high. It's actually very difficult for most people to even relate to. Even I'm seeing many of our devotees, people, they get initiated and they're chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles, but they're still, due to some sentiment, they're attached to some bogus gurus. Actually, they shouldn't be initiated unless they're free. They should be free from that attachment. What is the essence of initiation? We think you have to follow four regs and chant 16 rounds and pass the test, and then you can get initiated. But actually, the essence of initiation is dedicating our lives in the service of Krishna, that our whole being should be for Krishna, according to the parampara system. But we find that even people, somehow they get initiated, but they're still attached to, they keep their father's photo on the altar along next to Prabhupada, as if, you know, Prabhupada and their fathers, or all the different demigods or Mayavadi gurus. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I was in someone's house and they had Prabhupada's picture on the altar and then all the different demigods and reading Dr. Radha Krishnan's Bhagavad Gita. I tried to confiscate it from him, but he refused. And some certificate from Chinmay Mission. What is this? This is nonsense. You're not a follower of Prabhupada. Why are you keeping this? This is an insult to Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't, it's not all the same, it's not all one. But sometimes people take to Krishna consciousness, they think it's nice, it's pious, you don't eat meat and it's nice, it's good for the family, but actually what is Krishna consciousness? To surrender to Krishna, sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, to fully surrender to Krishna. And that requires some understanding why to do so. If we, just like this Chinmay Mission, they teach Bhagavad Gita shlokas, and you'll find, so people think, oh, that's very good. You see, we learn so many Bhagavad Gita shlokas. But you can go to them for millions of years. Of course, they won't exist for millions of years. You can learn all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, but this sarvadhaman karityaja mamekam sharanam raja will never come about because they are not committed to that. Even they may themselves preach it. Sometimes we'll find Mayavadis, they'll preach the, and you'll say, well, it sounds very good. They'll say, you should do bhakti, you should chant the holy names of Krishna. Mayavadis also preach, some of them. Actually, many of them. They'll all, even Shankaracharya himself says, doing bhakti is very good. Because when you do bhakti enough, then you'll come to the platform of jnana and realize that soham, that he who I was worshipping, I am he. So Krishna, I worshipped you enough, now you jump down off that altar, I'll jump up and you worship me. Or we'll be partners, I'll stand just like Krishna's putting his hand on Balaram's shoulder, I'll put my hand on your shoulder and we're all the same, it's all one. So it's actually offensive. It may seem like bhakti, it may seem to be the same, but it's offensive to Krishna, because the spirit of surrender to Krishna, in which we actually have maro bi rako bi jo ichchatoha, we're ready to accept that. We accept everything is Krishna's mercy. Whatever he does to me, I can accept this as his mercy. I am surrendered to him, and whatever he does, that is for my benefit. It requires full surrender, tremendous advancement to have that mood. That's why we find in the Bhagavatam descriptions of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. Why are they described? What is their greatness? Their greatness is that they remain steadfast in their bhakti despite so many difficulties. They never wavered. They were never afraid. Ambarish Maharaj wasn't afraid. Now I'm going to be killed. He wasn't afraid. It's Krishna's mercy. His full faith in and surrender to Krishna. These are the devotees who we should emulate. They accept it. Everything is, whatever happens, it's Krishna's mercy upon me. Chitraketu, cursed. Now you go to a hellish situation. All right. Thank you very much. Parvati, she is Maya. She was surprised. Oh, I cursed him? I gave him something bad? People are coming to me asking for dhanam dehi, rupavati bharya dehi, rupam dehi. Give me these different benedictions, and they're coming for this, and I'm giving you just the opposite. You go to a hellish situation. Oh, thank you very much. What is this? She couldn't understand. Lord Shiva could understand. Narayana parasarve nakutaschina bibhyati. Svargapavaga narakeshu apitulyartha. What's the last word? Darshanaha. That pure devotees of Krishna, those who are Narayana para, those who are attached to Narayana, they see every situation as the same, whether it's hell or heaven or liberation, it's all the same. Because my relationship with Krishna, I am the servant of Krishna. So if he sends me to hell, I have to serve him there. If he puts me in heaven, I have to serve him there. This is my life. Whatever the situation may be, it doesn't affect a devotee so much. But whatever his material situation is, he doesn't think that I need to have a comfortable situation, then I will serve Krishna. First of all, I'll make a crore of rupees, then I'll surrender to Krishna. First I have to arrange for my family maintenance, then I'll surrender to Krishna. So it's not that a devotee is irresponsible in his family matters, but he doesn't think that his devotional service is dependent on any material situation. If one thinks that my devotional service is dependent on any material situation, then he hasn't understood what is devotional service. Because Krishna consciousness, by its very nature, has nothing to do with any material situation. On the neophyte platform, Prakriti Bhakta, so many arrangements may be there for helping persons to make the transition from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Just like these big temples. Why have a big temple? Because so many people will come. If we just have an office, ISKCON, and then people want, they'll come to see, oh, such a nice temple. And we can go to Juhu Beach also. It's all in the tourist package. The tourist bus comes from Tamil Nadu or wherever it comes. And it's all part of the Bombay tour. First of all, you go to ISKCON Temple, then you go to the beach and have a camel ride. Or I think they stop the camel rides, is it? To be nice to camels. You kill the cows, but be nice to the camels. So for materialist people, they start saying, oh, very wonderful. Oh, look at that chandelier. Oh, very nice. And we sell them some books because they're pious, but materialistic. But actually, their real benefit can come from hearing about Krishna. Oh, we saw the deity. We took a photo. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, you cannot see, you have to see by hearing. The real benefit will come if people come to hear about Krishna. Otherwise, just like some of Prabhupada's disciples, when they first came to Vrindavan, they were staying at Radha Damodar temple. So there are so many deities there. Actually, that's another mistake, because the deity is supposed to have their own temples. But they sold all the different temples, took the money, and put all the deities in one temple. So one of the Goswamis in the Goswami family said to one of the devotees there, pointing at the deities, which one do you like? I like that one. He reminds me of Pancham George, George V, Emperor of India. So he liked me. I like this deity because looks nice to me. Or I like Radha Rasbihari better than Radha Giridhari and Mirror, because they look nicer to me. Or now we installed Panchatattva in Maipur. They're already there in small form, but now we think big deities. Now they're really there. They're already there, small deities. But we're thinking now there's very big deities. Now they're really there. Deity can be very small, but people like to come. Big deity. Then they'll come. Oh, we never saw such big deity. But Krishna, Krishna is anaranyan, atomahiyan, big God, may take large form, small form. Materialistic people, they like to measure with their own eyes. They can actually see Krishna by hearing about him. Then they will understand. Hearing about him from those who can actually see him. By the Shutekshanapatha, the path of seeing by hearing. This is not something invented by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's in Bhagavatam. So such persons who have seen Krishna by hearing about him, they can understand what is the mercy of Krishna. Everything is the mercy of Krishna. But a materialistic person thinks that mercy is only if I get something for my sense gratification. But those who are more advanced, they understand who is Hari. Krishna means Hari. That the real mercy will come when he takes everything away. Yasyahamanu grihnami harishye tadhanam shanai. Yudhishthira Maharaja is Krishna. We are devotees and we went through so many difficulties. So, how can we understand? How can we understand this? What is the symptom of your mercy upon a person? Krishna said, my mercy is when I take everything away. A materialistic person cannot understand this, because he wants to exploit Krishna. He wants to take Krishna for my own sense gratification. So really this temple life, those who are living in the ashrams, they should understand this point very clearly. Temple, living in the temple means we're part of the preaching movement. Preaching means we should at least be on the madhyamadika. Pure devotion. So if we're thinking that Krishna is just an adjunct to my sense gratification, then we're in the same consciousness as this. Which one do you like best? I like that one. He looks like Pancham George. If we have a materialistic concept of Krishna, there's no need for building temples. There are already so many, all the temples, all over India, all over the world, all the churches, all the mosques, they're full of people who take God as a platform for their own sense gratification. So there's no need to fill up temples with people who think that the deity is for my sense gratification. But rather the temple should be filled with devotees who are live by the principle of and who are able to instruct others in the principle that we are meant for Krishna's sense gratification. We are here to serve Krishna for His pleasure. Not that there's very nice arrangement, very good. I shall enjoy it. Krishna is very kind. Prabhupada is very kind, He's given us these facilities so we can chant Hare Krishna and lead a comfortable life. No, Prabhupada has made the facility so that we can lead a comfortable life and chant Hare Krishna. It's different. Not that, well, I have to chant. Just like some places you go, once I went in Chitrakoot, and there are so many places like that, that they give, at midday they give prasad, full meal. But you have to sit there for 1 hour and sing Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Then they give you. So the idea is that if you don't chant, you don't get your chapati. So that is not the function of Islam. Rather that we'll chant, and some chapatis are required because we have to serve Krishna. Not that we're serving Krishna for the sake of facilitating our sense gratification. It's a change of consciousness. Materialistic people cannot understand what is the consciousness of a devotee. Why he's doing what he's doing. They may also envy him. Why you're living in this nice temple? They're thinking that we have taken it for our enjoyment. We're living here. This is Krishna's palace. We are servants. We are humble servants in this palace. This palace is for His pleasure only. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, comment from the learned devotees? Please. There is no need to serve the deities. I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah.
So there is no need to serve the demigods. Is there anything wrong with
Is there anything wrong with worshipping demigods? Generally, yes. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. Kama istai stai hritigana prapadyantena devataha. Generally, people worship demigods for sense gratification. So, that's wrong, because sense gratification is... Personal sense gratification is opposite to the principle of Krishna consciousness. Well, you may say, I'm worshipping the demigods as servants of Krishna. Then you have, why are you going to worship some and not others? Just like people may say, I'm still worshipping... But now we're worshipping them as servants of Krishna. And then why are you worshipping just the same demigods you were worshipping previously? Why not all the others also? That means there's some material attachment there. Oh, here we have a mic, all facility. Is the mic on? I can't hear it.
How come that many acharyas, after coming to know the truth, Krishna and the Supreme Krishna Godhead, they did establish many temples of demigods within India?
After understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they established many temples of demigods. Who are you referring to particularly?
Yeah.
No, but who? Who are you referring to? Yeah, but you see, Shankaracharya, he is, well, he didn't establish many temples, is one thing. And another thing is that he's not a Vaishnava. He's not acting as a Vaishnava Acharya. He's acting as a Mayavadi Acharya. So his Siddhanta is different. You have a question? Yeah. Yeah, you will be able to see all the worlds. Everything will be disclosed to you. You will be able to see all the worlds. Well, I mean, the thing is that there's so much in every verse. Prati shloke, prati akare, nana artha koi. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. That Krishna tula bhagavat, vibhushabhashroi. Prati shloke, prati akare, nana artha koi. That Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Is all-powerful and can give all shelter to all. And in every shloka and in every akshara, there's so many different meanings. So I could have commented on this verse, what to speak of the purport, in various ways, but I chose to comment in a particular way. I mean, if this is to be commented on, then we have to have another class. Lord Krishna is saying to Brahma that everything will be revealed to you by your devotional service. And Prabhupada comments on this, how that is revealed from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. Anyone can say, not you, you're a pundit, we know you know. Chapter 10, text 10 of Bhagavad Gita. You're any of the Tesham? Wrong. Tesham evanukam partam aham agyana jangtamaha nashyami atna bhavasto gyana deepena bhavasto. Yeah, 10 and 11. Yeah, okay. All right. All the ignorance is removed from the heart and Krishna is established. Probably if you had given the class, you would have given it in a different way. Wait a minute. Could you please speak into the mic?
Hello.
Yes, it's working.
Krishna is stating, sun is my power.
Sun is my power. Yes, everything is Krishna's power. Yeah. Yes. That's true. Everything is part of Krishna. Krishna addresses this in Bhagavad Gita. What is that he says? Mayaiva vihitan hitan. That worship of demigods is in one way worship of me, but it is not according to the proper system. There's a proper way of doing things. Just like when we have to eat, we have to put food in the body. So there are various holes in the body. The mouth is not the only one. If we try to put the food through the ear, it's, you can say, well, we're putting the food in the body, but it's not the proper way. There's a proper system for doing things. Shall we finish there? Sunday's a busy day. You're all preaching. Okay. Is there any more questions? There's a question here.
Maharaj, as you see, there are different sects of people following different problems of spiritual life. And when we approach them, sometimes they argue that
different processes of spiritual life. Well, maybe that's not actual spiritual life, but because in Kali Yuga, most of what goes on in the name of spiritual life is not at all. Priti vite jato kichu. prithivite jato kata dharma name chale bhagavata kahitaha paripurna chale. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on the second verse of Bhagavatam, says that whatever is being spoken of in the name of religion in the world, apart from the actual version of Bhagavat, it's all simply cheating.
Now, they say that when you are the goal,
they say,
you are the goal, spiritual goal, to attain mukti or something. So, you can go different ways. So, I said, no, if you want to go to Bombay from Calcutta,
yeah, it's a standard reply.
On a particular platform. You said, no, I can go by train, I can go by airplane, I can go by car, I can go by water.
Yeah, but still, if you go by walking, you have to go in the right direction. Your example is not nullified. You can go by walking, but if you head due west from Bombay, you'll end up in the sea. You get drowned. So, the main problem is that people are not very sincere. You can't convince... What is that? You can't wake up a person who's pretending to be asleep. Mostly people are not sincere. Just like I was saying yesterday, I was speaking with these people. And they admitted, I pointed out to them that you're speaking nonsense. I pointed out that you're contradicting yourself. They admitted, but still they didn't... Still they thought they should go on speaking and speaking. It means not sincere. Rascal, as Bhagavad Gita said. The word rascal is, just like Prabhupada was commenting once, that rascal, it's not that we have anything against them, but it's just the correct description. That's all. It's just impassively, neutrally, we have to say that they are rascals. We don't have anything intrinsically against them. Oh. No.
But that thing, everything is less than the tapa adhishtha.
Oh.
And as long as we forget that part, tapa adhishtha, we have to ask to get everything revealed in our heart, our mercy, everything.
Yeah.
That part is missing everything. Religion.
Yeah, yeah. Religion is... people are accepting God for their sense gratification, not giving up sense gratification to attain Him. Rather, they want to take Him and use Him for their sense gratification. People go to sadhus who have got some shakti from doing tapasya. Now, I will touch your feet and without doing any work, I will take all the phal of your tapasya and enjoy myself. And sadhus enjoy that also. So-called sadhus. They'll do tapasya and just for the sake of being worshipped. This pratishta asha is so strong that people, they'll accept so many difficulties just to, so that people reckon, oh, what a great sadhu, and come and touch his feet. It's very, again, it's foolishness. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavat ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.